Welcome to the Treasury of Solomon, where we go verse by verse for the book of Proverbs to find the wisdom that God has for us. Today's verse is Proverbs 1 and 12. It says, "Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit." This verse is a continuation of the verse before, verse 11, which told us, "If they say, 'Come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us work privily for the innocent without cause.'" We also know that the people that we're referring to are the sinners mentioned in verse 10, or more specifically, a band of highway robbers. This verse shows what they want to do to the innocent people that they come after without cause. It's important to remember that this desire for murder and violence was completely unprovoked, even by their own admission. They're the ones who said that it was without cause, so even they know and realize that this is so far out of line with reason and rationality. They don't even make an attempt to justify their actions in any way. They only reinforce and emphasize their actions, which is what we find in verse 12. This verse gives an even deeper and clearer glimpse into their true motives and intentions, the real evil and malice that lurks beneath the surface in their minds and hearts. The first part of this verse that we need to look at is the first half of the verse, which said, "Let us swallow them up alive as the grave." The wording here is interesting. The first thing that we have to note is the word grave. In many other versions of the Bible, it's translated as Sheol. In the Hebrew, this means underworld, the place to which people descend at death. The concordance goes on further to say that it means grave, hell, pit, Hades, or the world of the dead, as if a subterranean retreat, including its accessories and inmates. So we understand from this that we're not just referring to the grave or to death in the general sense of the words. We're referring to hell, the resting place and the final destination of the unrighteous and the wicked. This shows the intent behind the robbers' actions. They wanted to bring the maximum violence and punishment on the innocent travelers. They wanted them to go to hell. They wanted them to be tortured and punished for all of eternity. They wanted them to be in a place with weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of misery and eternal bitterness. Why would they want that? We know by their own admission that this was without cause, but there must be a cause for this deep level of animosity against someone who did nothing wrong. This isn't natural. This belies something supernatural going on. This reveals a deep and demonic influence on the robbers, an influence that was controlling their minds and their hearts, giving them an inordinate and unnatural hatred and desire for violence and blood that was completely and utterly unjustified and unjustifiable. Many times, as the old saying says, misery loves company. Many wicked people intuitively know that if they don't change their ways, hell is going to be their eternal resting place. So instead of change, they want to bring as many people as they can with them. They make themselves out to be like spiritual kamikazes, seeking to destroy as many lives as they can in the process of destroying their own. We know that the devil wants people to go to hell. There's no surprise there. He wants it to be as full as possible, which is why he impresses these strange and evil influences on people. The grave and hell are never satisfied, because the devil is never satisfied. He always wants more, more people, more influence, more control. Proverbs 27 and 20 says, "Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of men are never satisfied." The eyes of the wicked, evil men plotting destruction, are never satisfied. They always want more, just like the devil, more stealing, more death, and more destruction, because they serve the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Proverbs 30 and 16 says, "The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough." So then we have to ask, what about the first part of this? Swallow them up alive. What does that even mean? Psalm 55 and 15 says, "Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them." Psalm 124 and 3 says, "Then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us." The idea of swallowing someone up has to do with the suddenness of it, the element of surprise being inherent in it. It's something unexpected. When the traveler is going down the road, soon the ambush is upon him, and before he knows it, he's attacked and even murdered by a bloodthirsty gang of criminals. The grave is underground. It's hidden. It's not visible. Nothing's seen. This implies that they desire for their work to be out of view. They killed a man so there's no evidence of their crimes, no one to tell on them, no one who witnessed it. We find a prime example of being swallowed up with Korah in Numbers chapter 16 and verse 30, which says, "But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, with all that appertaineth unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." This gets to the heart of the matter. This is what these robbers are doing. They go after innocent people unprovoked, but what they're really doing is provoking the Lord for their senseless and cruel actions, and they won't go unpunished. They may cover their tracks in the natural, but they never can in the spiritual. God sees and records all, and He is a just God, bringing punishment on those who deserve it. The next thing that we have to look at is the phrase "end whole." The immediate meaning of this is in the physical sense, meaning the death of the man. Not just injured, not just wounded, but murdered. There's also another meaning of this though, a spiritual meaning. When the robbers and wicked men of this world go after innocent, upright men, they don't always do so with the intent to physically kill. Many times they have the intent to morally kill, which can be even more effective for the devil. He attempts to steal our values, kill our morals and ethics, and destroy our consciences. He'll tempt us and attract us to join with a band of people that don't have our best interests at heart. People that lead us down the wrong road, making our morals weaker and weaker through continually pushing the limits of our conscience, until soon our morals are completely gone, often without us even noticing their increasing absence until they're totally gone. This isn't so much what the robbers do to the traveler as much as it is what they do to the one who joins their ranks. Prolonged association with them will kill a man's morals, will destroy his spiritual, empathetic, and compassionate inclinations, and will leave him just a cruel, malicious, wicked shell of a man, whose mind and heart are being turned this way and that by the hand of the enemy. The last thing that we need to look at is the last phrase, "as those that go down into the pit." What pit? This is again talking about hell. Some Bible scholars have rendered this last phrase as, "upright men that go down into the pit." This shows what's really happening here. It shows how the devil is using these robbers as his vessels, using their actions to further his purposes and intentions. He's not looking for just anyone to go down into the pit, into hell, where he resides and is in control. He's looking for the upright. He's looking for God's people, people who are moral, people who are looking to live righteous, holy, respectable lives. He's looking for the people who are outside of his grasp, who aren't under his control. This shows what the real intention is. He's not going after the wicked because he already has them. He's going after the upright because he wants their minds and their hearts. He wants to control and destroy their lives. He's doing the same thing today. He's after the upright, after God's people, after Christians. He's after you. You're the traveler. You're the pilgrim, journeying as an alien in this strange land. He wants to swallow you up when you least expect it. He wants to suddenly come upon you and destroy you, and if he can't do that, he wants to tempt and attract you to join his ranks. We face a real enemy today that wants nothing more than to pull you away from God. This is why we must remain vigilant and why we must put on the whole armor of God so that we can withstand his attacks in the evil day. If we resist him, we are promised that he will flee. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we know that when the enemy tempts us, that you always make a way of escape. And Lord, we ask for the wisdom and discernment to see that way of escape for what it is and to take it for all that it's worth. Lord, we thank you that you give us discernment to know and see his lies and deceptions for what they are so that we won't fall prey to them when he tries to attack us with them. Lord, we thank you that you've given us the armor of God, that you gave us everything we need to be able to withstand the evil one. Lord, we thank you that we put on this armor every day as we go out into a hostile world, and that you protect us through your Holy Spirit, leading and guiding us into all truth. Lord, we thank you for your word, one of the greatest things that we have to protect us from the enemy. Lord, today we proclaim your word, we speak it, and we repel the attacks of the enemy. We speak against his plans and his purposes to overthrow our faith, to ambush us when we least expect it. Lord, his plans and his purposes will not prosper, because we know that we're promised that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And Lord, we thank you that as we stand firm on our faith and on your word, and don't fall prey to his attacks, that this will honor and glorify your name. And Lord, we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us today. Remember before you leave to hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, and remember to like and comment below. The wisest thing that we can ever do is give our lives to Christ and be born again. If you want to have Jesus as a part of your life today, all you need to do is to invite him into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior. You then trust in him that you're forgiven, and you choose to live for him who died for you. We'll see you next time as we continue to explore the treasury of Solomon and study the King's Word together.